Investor Schooling is an education company located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Investor Schooling, the principals or their employees are not licensed by any regulatory institution. Phil Falcone and Larry Steinhaus are not registered reps of any investment firm, nor do they sell any securities. Their advice is based on their experiences and the experiences of their students. They are not attorneys or accountants, and before using any of their advice, they suggest you check with your legal or tax professionals. To find out more, go to www.investorschooling.com.
This show is previously recorded.
Now, let's welcome Larry Steinhaus and Phil Falcone, your hosts for Investor Schooling Live.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Hey, I'm coming to you live from the Investor Schooling Studios. I'm Larry Steinhaus. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling. Get ready to learn real estate investing and stock options trading and so many other things about money I bet you didn't even know. You can call me anytime during the show with your question at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. That's right, it's a live program. If you're listening right now, it's a live program. Actually, I guess if you're listening right now and it's Saturday at 2 o'clock, it's live. Anytime else, we do play the repeat. But hey, if you want to call anytime else too, you'll still be connected to me. That's 855-939-1137. Call me anytime during the show. I'll take your call. Don't worry about what I'm talking about. I'll take your call and answer your questions. At Investor Schooling, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money in taxes, and how to be financially free. And we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of working for money. Investor Schooling is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right off the Newtown Bypass, serving the New Jersey and Greater Philadelphia areas in a real brick-and-mortar building. Our students are also located in several states with our exclusive web access to our classes and seminars. Hey, get ready to learn this business, the business of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, and stock options trading from people who do it every day. Welcome to Investor Schooling Live with me, Larry Steinhaus. Hey, 5939-1137 if you want to call in. I got a couple of topics that I was thinking about talking about today, and I'm going to go through them. And if you want to call in and ask me a question on any of them, that's fine too. So I was talking about my book launch. So real quick, before I even get to the other topics, I wrote a book, and my book is called Money Hacks, and the subtitle of my book is Because Everything You Think You Know About Money Is Wrong. And in fact, I'm having a book launch this Wednesday, June 1st. All right, so I want to let you know about that book launch. And by the way, if you're too shy to call and you just want to order the book or you don't want to come, you can go to barnesandnoble.com. You can look up Larry Steinhaus Money Hacks, and you could order the book there. I'm telling you, the book is packed with information. 22 chapters about money and how to make more money. All right, cool. Here we go. Let's talk about a couple other things that I'd like to bring up. If you guys, I was thinking about talking about Airbnbs. I've been talking about, I know this is kind of weird, but tipping people. You know, if you go to a restaurant, entrepreneurship, the stock market, is the housing market crashing? How to be a real estate investor, recession fears, tax savings ideas. Maybe I'll even bring up a chapter from my book. I'm going to talk about some money myths. And here's an interesting one. Should you buy silver or gold? And getting on that topic as well, silver or gold, what's the difference between numismatic and actual silver? So I'm going to talk about that as well. Hey, I actually see Chad online just asked an interesting question. He said, in the next 5 years, do you see Bitcoin hitting 100,000 or higher? So if you're a listener of my shows, I have another show and I talk about it all the time. I have to tell you, Chad, I am not a fan of Bitcoin. Now, does that mean that I can answer the question whether I think it's hitting 100? Subjectively, I believe I can. And I actually believe, my personal opinion is Bitcoin is done. Now, I don't mean done as it's going to go to zero. I mean done as it's going to make these major moves anymore. I think it's settling in the approximate range of where it's going to be, which is right around 30,000 right now. Now, will it drop to 20? Yeah, probably will. And will it come back to 30? Yeah, it probably will. In fact, I actually believe it drops below 20. If it drops way below 20, like, you know, 18, 17, 18, it's over. It's completely over. It'll be back into 5,000, 6,000 range. But I don't believe that's happening yet. I believe it's going to happen. If it happens, it's not going to happen yet. So here's what's going on with Bitcoin, not to be, you know, a negative Nancy on Bitcoin or crypto. What's really happening is it's becoming mainstream and not becoming mainstream fast enough. Both of those problems are the same problem. So what's happening basically with it not becoming mainstream fast enough is if it was becoming mainstream fast enough, I'd be able to go buy things with Bitcoin right now. Yes, I know there are these occasional places that will actually accept Bitcoin for something. I mean, there used to be a couple of dealerships, and there was some story or some myth. I don't even know if it's a story or real story about somebody bought a house with Bitcoin a couple of years ago. But it's not mainstream. You can't just go out there and go, "Hey, look, I've got 5 Bitcoin. I'm going to go buy a $120,000 house." It's just not going to happen. It's not reality. So because of that, and because it didn't become mainstream fast enough, people are going to be losing their faith in Bitcoin, right? Now you have the other side where Bitcoin was going up ridiculous amounts of value for no other reason than somebody said, "I'll buy it for $1,000 more than you paid for it. I'll buy it for $1,000 more than you paid for it." So that's just outbidding each other, and there was absolutely no reason for it. Then you had in November and December, actually, I think it was October, November, December area, when it went nuts, when it hit 60, and some people said it was going to hit 100. So here's what happened. What happened was a lot of major companies, or major minor companies, maybe mid-level companies, had all this extra cash from COVID. Now, I know it's weird that you'd think that, hey, how'd they have cash from COVID? Well, they had cash from COVID because they were either borrowing money from the government at really low rates, or they had a business where they made more money than they normally made, and they couldn't go out and invest it somewhere because they really had nothing else to invest it in. And they decided to take that money and invest it in COVID. So they had, let's say they had $5 million in cash in their company. They didn't know what to do with it. They bought $5 million worth of Bitcoin. And if you go back, you'll actually see a number of companies did this, thinking it was a good place for them to park their money. And they soon learned that they lost about 50% of that money between then and now. And because of that, now you have the major companies not dumping in the money anymore. In fact, some of them are even pulling their money out because they're like, "Oh, you know, I already lost 50%. I don't want to lose any more." So I'm going to tell you that I personally think that it's done. It's you know, if you made your money on it, fantastic. I mean, I know some people who did really well in it. I know others who, you know, they claim to have made some money on it, and or they had it. But then I know people who mined it. And the miners made some money too. So it was a great little, it had its great run. I think its run is probably over. I don't know if I don't know if anything's going to come from it in the future. Then you have NFTs, which I am definitely not a fan of NFTs. I believe that NFTs is the biggest waste ever. Now, again, I have some people arguing with me. NFTs, oh, NFTs are so good. NFTs are so good. Oh, my goodness. Well, NFTs, the problem with NFTs is they're so expensive to create, they're so expensive to sell, and they're so expensive to buy that it's not even worth it. So I did an experiment. So for you guys who don't know, I did an experiment with NFTs. I actually created an NFT, which was the logo and the picture of me for my Money Chat Now show, which airs on during the week on another station. I created an NFT and I put it out for bid. First of all, it cost me about $120 to create it. So, you know, it's just basically a JPEG, but in order to have it stamped, or if you want to call it digitally stamped as the first one, I had it digitally stamped. It cost me about $120. I put it up as an auction and I said, listen, and I did this right before Christmas. I did it like about a month before Christmas. I put it up as an auction with a dollar. I said, okay, you guys can bid on it. And if you bid on it, if anybody buys it, I will buy it back Christmas Day for $500. Of course, if they bid up over $500, then it would have been worth a lot more money. But I knew it wasn't going to happen. I just figured, let me find out how this works. So the other thing I did was I also clicked the button that says that every time it sells, I get a royalty of 10%. So if somebody was to buy it for $1,000, I get a $100 royalty. You get it? And even if it goes to somebody else, I know Chad's asking all these questions. If it goes to Chad, and then from Chad it went to Steve, and then from Steve it went to Mike, and then from Mike it went to Glenn, whatever, right? If every single time it transferred, I would get 10% of what the person paid for it. So that's what the royalty was for. So let me tell you what the outcome was and what happened. I put it up for bid, and I had a couple of people contact me online. First of all, there were several people contacting me. They couldn't figure out how to bid on it because you have to bid on it in something called Wrapped Ether. Okay? And if you don't know what Wrapped Ether is, well, join the club. I don't know what Wrapped Ether is either. I do know that you have to buy Ethereum, and then you have to convert it to wrapped ether, which, by the way, that costs you money. So you have to buy the ether, and that costs you money. You have to buy the wrapped ether. You're going to convert it from ether to Ethereum. That costs you money. So what we found was, in order to bid a dollar, just a dollar, it was about $60 to bid a dollar. So about five people actually got into this because they wanted to find out more about it as well, and they each had to pay about $60 just to bid. Finally, we got the bid up to $44. So somebody actually put a bid of $44, or, you know, wrapped ether value of $44, and they won the bid. Okay, then they had to buy. They had to actually take possession of the NFT. So to take the possession, but don't forget, it cost them about $100. It was about $60-$70, I should say, in order to buy the ether and convert it to wrapped ether. This is before they even won, right? Then they had to buy it. Then they bought it, so they bought the $44 worth, so it's about $130 now, right? Then they had to take possession of the NFT, and to take possession, it cost them another $40 or $50. So they're now into it for about $180 for their $44 investment. So now remember, I'm supposed to buy it back Christmas Day. So I put it out there, okay, I'm going to buy it back Christmas Day, $500. First of all, I had to buy it the next day because it took me five or six tries, and I got frustrated to figure out how to buy it back because that's how complicated it was. So I ended up buying it back for $500 worth of wrapped ether. Now, you do realize that $500 worth of wrapped ether cost me, I don't know, something like $650. So now it cost me $650. Remember, this was an experiment. The only reason I did it was because I wanted to learn from it so I could teach my students, because that's what I do. I don't do anything. I don't teach anything unless I actually do it. So I'm now into this for about $650 plus the original 130-ish. So let's say it's about $800 I'm into this thing for, right? So I buy it back, right? Now remember that I had that... If you guys remember, I had that royalty in there, right? So I did buy it. So I bought it for $500. So I should get a $50 royalty, correct? Remember, right? So about 2 days after I buy it back and the guy gets his money, whatever he gets his wrapped ether, he can convert it, do whatever he wants to do with it. About 2 days after I buy the NFT back for $500, I get an email. It says, would you like to claim your royalty? And I'm thinking, why is this thing being... asking me if I want to claim my royalty? Doesn't it automatically give it to me? So it says, click here to claim your royalty. So remember, my royalty was $50 because it's 10%. I swear, it said it's going to cost me $110 to claim the $50 royalty. So that's it. I'm done with NFTs. So NFTs are not my thing. I don't want them. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't know if you heard about the NFT, the original tweet that somebody paid over, the Jack Dorsey tweet NFT that somebody paid over $1 million for it and ended up, I don't know, I think it ended up selling for like $10 or something when he went to resell it. But that's my whole thing about Bitcoin and NFTs. I think the concept of blockchain technology is fabulous. I think that has a future, and it's great to prevent fraud and also keep anonymity. And if you guys don't know what that is, don't worry about it. You're going to find out in the next few years, because I'm sure that's going to happen. But if you guys have any other questions, feel free to call me, 855-939-1137. All right, so let's get into some other things here. Let's talk about Airbnbs. So this seems to be like the greatest thing. Everybody wants to do this. I want to get an Airbnb. I want to get an Airbnb. I want to get an Airbnb. And I have to tell you, just so you guys know, many years ago, it was about 15 years ago, I actually owned a real B&B, and it's kind of complicated to say what the difference between an Airbnb and a real B&B is. A real B&B was an actual bed and breakfast. So I owned a 7-room bed and breakfast, and I used to cook people breakfast. So if you stayed with me, I would cook your breakfast, that kind of thing, right? And it was an actual B&B. It was actually pretty neat. So people would come, they'd make reservations online. And it's funny, because I sold this thing right before the B&B craze. I wish I kept it, because it would have been fantastic. But at the same time, I sold it right before the Airbnb craze, and it was kind of neat. So now a lot of people are thinking, hey, what if I just buy a 2-family house, and I know I'll live in downstairs, and I'll Airbnb the upstairs? Well, yes, you can do it. You can. The problem with that is there are many rules and regulations about it, and the fact of whether you really want to do it or not. So the first thing you have to understand, that when somebody moves into an Airbnb, you know, they move in for a day or 2 days or 3 days, that place has to be spotless clean. So you have to have somebody to clean it. Clean it, set it up, make sure there's new linens, make sure that there's shampoo and soap and everything that you need, like a hotel. So if you've ever been to a hotel, you understand that you need to set this up just like you would a hotel. And I did the same thing, because when I had my bed and breakfast, I would set all of these things up. In fact, I would buy those little containers of shampoo and conditioner. I would buy those. I'd put them in every room. I'd get a nice soap in every room. I also had to do laundry for every one of those rooms. So we had laundry machines, and we had to do the laundry for them as well. So now you have to make sure that you do that. My suggestion is, if you're going to do that, is hire somebody to do that. I can't tell you how many people I know that are buying Airbnb or buying a property, Airbnb-ing the property, and they're doing their own laundry. Don't do that. That's a waste of your time. You have so much better things to do in your life than to sit there and do your own laundry for people renting your room in your Airbnb. That's just silly. So don't do that. The other thing you have to understand is, okay, we talked about rules and regulations. A lot of people are trying to do this in condo associations, and the condo associations are not going to allow you to do this. So you can't do it. You just literally can't do it. You can try, but it's not going to work, because the condo association is going to say, no, we don't want any transient people. In fact, most condo associations say that if somebody moves into a place inside the condo association and they rent it, they can rent it for no less than a year. So keep that in mind too, that you have to make sure that you have a lease for at least a year. Now, some people can sign a month-to-month lease with somebody in a condo association, or you can let them out of their lease, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. But a Airbnb, you know, these are people staying for 2-3 days, and the condo association may be really not that happy about it. Also, remember that you're going to get people who are going to call you, and they're going to say, hey, you know, tell me more about your Airbnb, where it is, where it's located. And also, you're going to have people who are going to come in the middle of the night. They're going to come in 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night because they came in late, or they came in, whatever, they flew in from the airport, and maybe their plane's late, whatever the situation is. Can you handle that and give them the key and handle it? Now, yeah, you can have a lockbox, or you can have a code on the door to let them in, but just keep in mind that you have to handle all of these things. You're also going to have, it's rare, very rare, you're going to have somebody damage the room. And I'll tell you, I'll make it simple and try to make it less gross than what, you know, you might think, but, you know, probably one of the things that happens is, you know, women, you know, that time of month, then they accidentally stain the sheets, right? So you got to keep that in mind, and you have to decide what you're going to do with that. Sometimes you're going to have to charge them or not charge them, or, you know, just let the embarrassment go, throw away the sheets and replace them. But it's happened to me in my B&B, just so you know. I mean, it's like pretty gross, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is. It's life. It's what happens. You know, it could be worse and maybe be something besides that, if you know what I mean. All right, we'll leave it there. You know, maybe President Biden stayed overnight and you really have to change the sheets, you know, that kind of thing. All right. So my suggestion on Airbnb, also be careful, because a lot of people are doing the math wrong on Airbnbs. And what they're doing is they're saying, hey, I can rent this thing for $100 a night, and that means that I'm going to get $3,000 a month. Well, that's not true, because your vacancy rate might be a lot lower. So you got a whole lot of management, and you might have a lower vacancy rate, where I could buy the same unit, maybe rent it out for $1,800 a month, and I'm going to get my $1,800 a month no matter what. I don't have to worry about renting it. My maintenance is a lot lower. I don't have to worry about changing sheets. I don't have to worry about anything, because now it's a regular unit. And also, I can use that money, and I could show that money on my tax return to maybe buy something else if I need to get a loan. So again, you know, it was, you know, like Chad asked me about Bitcoin. I'm not a fan of Bitcoin. It has its moments, but Airbnb, I'm personally not a fan of it, but I'm not a fan of it for only one reason. I like making money simple. I like passive income. I like to make it very simple. I buy my rental properties. I rent them out. I let my people send me checks, and I don't have to worry about changing sheets. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about the maintenance. In fact, you know, a lot of people, even the people who come to investor schooling for the first time, they come in and go, well, I don't want to be a landlord. I'm afraid that people are going to call me in the middle of the night with a problem. So I'm going to tell you, I've been a landlord for, close to 40 years, right? 40 years I've been a landlord, and I've gotten one call ever in the middle of the night. One call ever. And I got to tell you, now, if they called me now, my phone wouldn't even ring because I have my phone set to do not disturb. So I don't know if you guys know how to do this I know how to do it on an iPhone. I don't know how to do it on an Android. But on my iPhone, I actually set my phone after 7 o'clock. My phone goes to do not disturb. So if you called me, I wouldn't even answer. But somebody called me in the middle of the night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It was weird. I looked at the phone. I realized it was my tenant. You know, and I said, okay, what's going on? And they said, well, the water heater split open. I'm like, okay. Did you turn the water off? They go, yeah. And I'm like, okay, why'd you call me? Because I wanted you to know. I want you to fix it. I said, well, I'm not going to fix it at 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's obvious, right? So I'm not going to fix it. I think they said that they were going to leave me a message, but I just happened to answer the phone anyway. So typically what's going to happen is, you know, just like if you had your own house, and one thing is people talk about toilets all the time, right? So toilets overflowing. Oh my goodness, the tenant called me and the toilet's overflowing. What do I do? And I look at the person and I say, what would you do if your toilet overflowed in the middle of the night? Well, what would you do? You turn the water off and you go to sleep and you call a plumber in the morning. That's basically the same thing. I mean, I'm not calling a plumber at 2 o'clock in the morning if the toilet's overflowing. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to, I mean, sometimes there are very ignorant people who don't know how to turn the water off, and you got to talk them through turning the water off, but that's life. You know, you talk them through turning the water off, you say, I'll call you in the morning, we'll get a plumber out there right away. The absolute worst thing I ever had with water was I own a condo, and it's a condo above another condo I own, which is hysterical. And the one up top, the condo started to flood, long story, but it started to flood, and the guy below, it flooded her apartment, and she wasn't home. So when she came home, she found her apartment was completely flooded. And when she came home, she called me, and I told her how to turn the water off, the main water in the unit. And, you know, that was probably the only emergency I ever had in 40 years. And, you know, it's still, I went down there with the adjuster, and, you know, we found a place for her to live so she could have a place to live. We turned the water off. We fixed the problem. And then, you know, it took me about 2 months to fix both the units because they were flooded. But that's it. In 40 years, it's who cares? So it's not that big of a deal. So getting back to the original topic, which is Airbnb, I'm not a fan, but I actually believe that there is a possibility, and I believe it's a worthwhile business. My suggestion is if you're going to do it as a business. So don't have one, don't have two. Have a goal of having 20, 25, 30 and turning it into a real business. The difference between people making money and not making money is whether they have a business or not. And in this case, if you want to turn Airbnb into a business, you will do very well. If you're going to do one or two units, you're going to struggle. By the way, my phone number, 855-939-1137. My name is Larry Steinhaus, and this is Investor Schooling Live. And you could call me about anything about real estate or anything about, I don't know, just about anything that has to do with money, because it's one of my favorite topics. I enjoy making money. I have a lot of fun making money. And that's it. So, as a matter of fact, 855-939-1137. And if you want to go to the Money Hacks live event this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we're going to be having it in the Sheridan and Oxford Valley. Just give me a call right now. The tickets are $27, but I'm going to let you go for free if you give me a call right now. We got about 5 tickets left, 855-939-1137. And we're going to take a break, and I will talk to you guys in about a minute or two or three or four.
This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to InvestorSchooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. InvestorSchooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling.
This is
is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you tired of the Biden economy? Do you want to learn how to thrive in the Biden economy? Because we're going to teach you that this Thursday night at Investor Schooling. So go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to thrive in the Biden economy. You can also call us at 215-876-3002, 215-876-3002. Tell me you're tired of inflation. Investorschooling.com. We will see you Thursday. All right. Welcome back to Investor Schooling Live. I'm Larry Steinhaus. I am the CEO of Investor Schooling, and we are here talking about money. We are here talking about real estate. We are here talking about the stock market. We're talking about everything that has to do with money because I love talking about money. It's so much fun. It's a lot of fun. And if you want to call in, you can call in at 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. You can ask me any questions. And in fact, if you call in and if you want to go, if you want to go to the Money Hacks Live event this Wednesday, I will even give you a free ticket if you call in, 855-939-1137. And by the way, Glenn Page, he is our ultimate producer. He will be taking your call. He'll be taking your information. So make sure when you call in, you say, "Hi, Glenn. I actually heard a rumor that there might be a caller, but I don't know yet. Is there a caller, Glenn?" Oh, okay. All right, I got you. He's got to turn his fan off? I got to hear this one. This is interesting. All right, but we'll get there. All right, so as soon as he gets back, we're going to talk to him a little bit, but I'd like to talk a little bit about buying gold and silver. So I have this question a lot. So people are asking me, should I buy gold? Should I buy silver? And my answer is always yes. You know, we had this whole conversation about Bitcoin, and we had this whole conversation about crypto. But I got to tell you, gold and silver is a very different asset than crypto. Gold and silver is backed by something, and it's backed by, guess what? Gold or silver. Now, you know, can gold or silver go down to zero? It'll never go down to zero, that's for sure. I mean, it actually has some value. People, you know, will make things out of gold, they'll make things out of silver, so it'll definitely have some value. So that's why I would always say buy gold and silver. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. I see that we do have Frank. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
All right, man, what's happening?
Oh, good. I know you love our commander in sleep named Joe Biden, okay?
Commander in sleep, did you say commander in sleep?
Yeah, Sleepy Joe, yeah.
I like that. I have to use that one. I got to write that one down. Commander in sleep, that's a good one. I got to use that on my show.
No problem. You ready for the great idea?
All right, let's go.
I know you're the king of parodies. Remember MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This?
Yeah.
Well, think of the tune of "You Can't Touch This," but you can't trust him. I said he can't touch this. You can't trust him. Can't trust him. Commander in sleep.
I like it, but it's not. It's, you know, there's some better ones. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it sounds good. Get Paul Piano to work on that one.
Yeah, Paul. Yeah, yeah. It's true. We can always have Paul write a parody on that one too. You know, you did hear about the one I wrote. Now I don't know if I could actually get to it. Let's see if I can get to it real quick.
Put in the Ritz.
This one. Okay, this one you'll like. Hold on, let me see if I can play it for you. Oh, I don't know if I got volume. Hold on 1 second. No, it's me.
Is this the one about putting on the Ritz?
Hey, Frank, listen to this, Frank.
America, there are children starving every day, and you can help. For as little as 65 cents a day, you can help feed a starving child living in a middle-class family. Don't let these children die because of government incompetence. You can help by donating to the Biden is Starving Children Fund. Yes, donate to the Biden is Starving the Children Fund today by calling 800-BRANDON.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, I gotta turn it off. That's what happens when you're not prepared for this stuff, right? Hold on. Yeah, so that was all about the baby food formula thing, you know? Amazing.
It's the first time I heard it. I do like it. And also, Larry, may I say something? Might give you something else? You
haven't, sure.
About dining out, about tip or whatever. Tip the service, not the bill. For example, say I go to a diner.
My bill is
$10, but the person was great. I leave them 20%, $2. That's terrible. I go to a great restaurant. My bill is $100, but they were terrible to me. So I leave them 10%, $10. No, tip the service. Get that diner $10. You know what I'm saying? Tip the bill, not the service. I'm sorry. Tip the service,
yes,
not the bill.
Tip the service. Yeah. So I agree with you, Frank. So here's funny, because I brought it up before, and what I was going to say about tipping is, right now, you know, you got a lot of people who have gone back to work, who are working harder than they ever have. There's less servers in places, and yeah, you have to tip bigger than usual. You know, I used to do that. I used to just take the tip and double it and move the zero over. So if it was $10, I would, you know, again, $2. But now, yeah, you're right, you have to give more. And it, you know, at the same time, if the tip's $100, if the bill's $100, you give them 10, 20. I tend to move it up to 25 now too. I just think you're doing the same thing.
No, you're misunderstanding me.
Sure.
No, I mean, if you're at a 5-star restaurant and it's the worst service you ever had, normally you leave 20%, say, or even 15. So I'll just leave them 10. But you're tipping someone who's terrible to you $10 versus a diner where the bill was $10 and you're giving them $2 or $3. Ultimately, I'm giving 20%. So don't be afraid to pay more than the bill was if you're at a cheap diner or something like that. Tip the server. Not some people work at 5-star restaurants and make $60,000 to $80,000 a year just because they give you food. They shouldn't just get money automatically. Tip the service.
I totally agree. Hey, Frank, are you already going to the Money Hacks event on Wednesday?
Larry, I'm the one who talked to you before. I'm the one who has difficulty seeing, can't drive no more.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I thought. Your voice sounded familiar. That's what I thought. Okay, so you actually can't make it, but that's a shame. But I wish you could. It'd be great.
I listen to WWDB Monday to Friday, catch on Saturdays.
Thanks,
I mean, yeah. I wish there was a way I could get more involved, but I can't.
Well, you just keep being a listener. I appreciate you. And if you can, and call in any time, man. I really appreciate it. But we're going to go over to Gary in South Jersey. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Sultan, how you doing, buddy?
It's so funny. I got my two favorite callers. I got Frank and Gary calling today. What's going on, Gary?
What do you think? What's your take, Larry, on I-bonds?
Wow, that's awesome. I actually talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So the I-bond right now, the rate is 9.62%, I believe. I'm doing it off the top of my head. 9.62%. It's unbelievable that the government bond is giving people 9.62%. It's unreal. It's like, wow, how do you say no to that? That was one of those reports that came up right when the stock market started to do really poorly about 2 weeks ago. And I assume people are moving their money to the I-bond. But here's the deal, right? So the maximum you could put in is $10,000, but that's not even true. So a lot of people don't realize that the maximum is more than $10,000. It's just maximum per entity is $10,000. And if you're getting a tax return, a tax refund, this is kind of wild. If you're getting a tax refund of $5,000 or more, you could take the $5,000 or more, you can take a maximum of $5,000 of that money. You could take $5,000 and put that towards an I-bond also. So if you buy a $10,000 I-bond and you have a tax refund of at least $5,000, you could put another $5,000 into the I-bond, which is kind of cool. But here's the deal. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
So now you could put it in for you, and you could put it in for your wife. If you have children, you could buy one for each one of your children. You could buy one in a trust. So you could buy more than one, and you could put this money in there. It's guaranteed money. The money's not, you know, it's very unlikely that the government is going to go broke this year. Right? So you're going to do pretty well with that. So I like them. Have you bought them?
Not yet. I'm on the verge. I was wondering, is this minimum 5 years, or do I have to wait 30 years?
No, it's a one-year bond, and it only pays 9.62% annualized for 6 months, though. Just keep that in mind.
Oh, okay.
We don't know what the rate will be after that, but it's going to be pretty high. Even if it averages down to 3, so what? You're still doing 6 or 7%.
That's true. Now, it's been a while since I've been tuned in to you guys. If you don't mind me asking, maybe he's on vacation, Memorial Day. Where is Alfredo?
Alfredo, you mean Phil? So Phil has left the company.
Yeah,
he's doing some other things right now. Okay. Oh, you mean Pedro? Pedro?
No. I mean no. Phil.
Phil's left the company. He's got some other things going on, and we decided that, you know, he decided actually that it would be better for him to go, and it was okay. We're still great friends. He's just not part of the company anymore.
Well, fine. Listen, I wish you a lot of luck. Happy Memorial Day to you and your family. Keep up.
Hey, real quick, Gar, before you go, are you coming to the Money Hacks event on Wednesday?
No. I'm the one whose wife is sickly, and I take care of her. So gotcha. I appreciate the offer, but I can't do it. I really can't.
Gotcha, man.
But I'll say one thing. When we sold, you remember the custard stand, remember?
Yeah.
You don't. Well,
I do
it's
remember.
Less stress on my wife.
That's it's good, man. That's exactly what wife. I told you.
Right. So, right. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I really do.
Wow. You're welcome, man. I really appreciate that. So sometimes, and you know, just in Gary's situation, buddy. And I don't know how much Gary wants to say, but in Gary's situation, Gary had a situation where he had a business, and you know, as you heard, he was taking care of his wife. He called me one day during the week. We had a conversation, and I said, listen, the business is not as important as your wife. You need to sell that business, and you need to take care of your wife. And he just confirmed right. that was a really good decision. And Gary, I really appreciate you, man.
Yes. No, I appreciate it. Keep up the good work, Larry. I'll see you, buddy.
Thank you, man. And hopefully we'll meet one day.
Hopefully. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. All right. Now we have Harry in Philadelphia. What's going on, Harry?
We're doing fine. Just can't wait to read your book.
Well, thank you, man. I look forward to you telling me what you think of the book. What do you do in Philadelphia?
We're heading to the show right now, but I'd like to come to the event on Wednesday.
That would be awesome, man. We're going to have Glenn take your information. So is there any questions you have for me, or you just want to get the event and it's fine with me? But if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
Is there a way to get a preview of the book before I got it?
A preview of the book, so you could go to. It's actually in pre-sale. You actually can't even get a copy of it right now. You have to go to Barnes & Noble or go to Amazon. What's that?
Yeah, I got one.
You want me to read the book?
I'd like to read it. I don't know when it's coming in.
Well, so the book will actually be released. It'll actually be released in July, and we're having the book launch on June 1st on Wednesday. Oh, I don't know. There's so much good stuff in here, like how to buy a house with credit cards. Hey, did you know you could buy a house with credit cards?
I heard you say that on the radio before.
Well, we're going to teach you how to do that in the book. How's that? How about borrowing money from people? How about if you want to buy a property, right? And you want to buy a house and you either have no money or you don't want to take money out of the bank to buy the house. How would you like to learn how to borrow money from other people, buy that house, give them a certain percentage of, you know, interest, and then you make all the money that you can on that house, and it costs you nothing out of your pocket? How'd you like to learn how to do that?
That sounds pretty cool.
Well, there's two things. Number one, you could buy my book, but you could come to Investor Schooling this Thursday by going to investorschooling.com, and I'm going to teach you how to do that too.
I already ordered the book. I'm just waiting for it.
Oh, you're just waiting for it. Okay. Have you been to class yet?
Yeah.
You have? Okay. Are you a student already?
Nope.
Okay. Cool. Well, hopefully we'll see you again, man. I'm going to have Glenn take your information, and we're going to see you on Wednesday. Remind me who you are when you come, and I'm looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
All right. Will do.
Sounds good, Harry. Talk to you then. All right. Cool. All right. So getting back to, let's talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. Actually, I think we were talking about silver. Let me finish that conversation on silver for a minute. So a lot of people are asking whether they should buy silver or they should buy gold. Now, I have to tell you, silver and gold are very slow investments. These are things you buy and you just hold on to them and you wait for them to go up. Silver and gold will always go up. It'll go down before it goes up sometimes, but whatever. It'll always go up. But it's not so much the investment that I buy silver and gold for. And what I'm buying silver and gold for is really a hedge against life, against fear. I always often talk about the zombie apocalypse, right? So the zombie apocalypse, everybody has seen The Walking Dead or movies like zombies, right? You've seen movies about zombies. And what happens is obviously when the zombie apocalypse comes, and it may not be zombies, but it may be the internet goes down, it may be electricity goes down, it may be the world changes in some crazy way, the Great Reset, whatever, right? Gold and silver will have value. You'll be able to buy milk from your neighbor with a silver coin. So that's why I buy it. But at the same time, I also know it's going to go up in value. And then there's the other question is, what's the difference between numismatic and actual silver? So numismatic, so a lot of people are buying like Morgan silver dollars, right? So Morgan silver dollars have 90% silver, the original one anyway. You can buy duplicates that have 100% silver, but they have the Morgans have 90% silver in them. And they're great, they're cute, they look nice, and, you know, they have some value, and maybe somebody says, hey, you could buy this thing for $25 that was originally a dollar, and maybe you sell it a couple years later, because a collector goes, oh, wow, that's a really nice one, I want to buy one. But numismatic value is not the same as silver meltdown value. In other words, if I took silver and I melted it down right now, you'd get about $22 for it, right? But the coin might have collector value, and that's called numismatic value. I am not a fan of numismatics. I'm a fan of buying actual silver. So I have people call me all the time. As a matter of fact, there's some MLM right now that people are calling me about all the time, about, you know, they send you silver every month. But they're sending me silver. They're sending me 1 ounce of silver, and it's costing me, now, 1 ounce of silver right now is $22. I can buy it for $25 because you're always buying it for over spot. But the Nemis, the MLM, the multi-level marketing companies that have this silver stuff, are selling numismatics. So they're saying, hey, this silver coin with such and such a stamp on it or such and such a picture on it is going to be worth something in the future more than you paid for it now. I'm not a big fan of that. I want to know that I could melt down that silver and I can have actual silver and I could sell it for an actual a number of value. By the way, real quick, the difference between silver and gold. I like to buy silver over gold because silver, it's at 22, is more likely to double to 44 than gold is to go from 1850 to 3700. So just keep that in mind too. I like the fact that silver is the better play. And I just go, I go to some website and I buy it on a website. I really don't want to advertise their website unless they want to pay me to. But I go there at eBay. You can get it on eBay too. Just go to some of the better brands and buy it, and you could have it auto-shipped. I have it auto-shipped, and I also noticed that whenever I have it auto-shipped, it's always at the highest price for the month, but whatever. All right, real quick, we also have Chad and Ben Salem. What's going on, Chad?
How you doing, Larry?
Love your show. All right, man. Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You know, congratulations on your book coming out. I had a question, actually, on wanted to get your opinion on Amazon. They're going to be doing, I think, a 10-for-1 split on 20 June to 1. 6th. I wanted
20 to 1.
What's that?
20 to 1. 20 to 1.
20 to 1. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, okay. 20 to 1. What are your thoughts on that, first of all? On the Amazon stock split, and then are you a fan of buying before or after a split? Just kind of curious your take on that.
Both great questions. So both Amazon and Google are going to be doing a 20 to 1 split, and that's going to put it right around $100 a share. So first of all, at $100 a share, these are fantastic buys. They're fantastic buys. They're very likely to go up from there. So the question is to buy it before or after. Now, typically, in a typical market, I would say buying it now would be a really good idea, preparing yourself for the split. Now, what I also recommend, do you know anything about covered calls?
I really do not. I probably have to come to your class, right?
Yeah, you definitely want to come to our class. So what I would recommend you do is buy a minimum of buy in blocks of 5 shares. So you're going to buy 5 shares of Amazon, for example. Cost you about $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, depending on what the price is. And you're going to hold on to that. When it splits, it's going to split 20 to 1, and you're going to have 100 shares. If you have 100 shares, you can sell covered calls. Don't worry about what it is. I'll explain it to you when you come to class. But the whole idea is you could literally, it's almost like renting out your stock. So if you had $10,000 worth of stock, maybe you can make $200 a week renting out your stock by giving people the option to buy it from you. So that's why I really like the price right now. I really like the fact that it's a 21 split. So I would buy both Google and Amazon now. Start buying it now. Hold your breath a little bit sometimes when it goes down, because the market's going to get a little bumpy. In fact, my prediction of the market, I don't know if you're a fan of my other shows, but I've been predicting the market. It's funny because I said the market would drop right to around 31,000 and went a little below, but it didn't finish there. It dropped a little below 31,000. Matter of fact, I actually predicted 31,300, and it closed one day at 31,258, I think was the lowest close, or something like that, really close. And I said that it would go from 31,000 to 33,000. Guess where it closed on Friday?
I'm going to go 32,000.
Yeah, 33,200. Wow. So what is that? So if I'm correct, what's going to happen this coming week?
It's, you think it's going to close down?
It's going to absolutely go down. So we're going to range back to the 31,000. So we're at the peak of 33,000-ish, and it's going to range back down. So we're going to start to see this week, we had the great, we had a fantastic week. We had the greatest week since, just I don't know, whatever it was, 2020, November 2020, I think it was. We had the greatest week since then, but I don't think we're going to have that again coming up this week. We might have a nice Monday, but I don't know if the rest of the week is going to be that good. I mean, I'm sorry, not Monday, Tuesday, because it's closed on Monday. So just keep that in mind. And you need to come to class, man. Are you going to come? Can you make it on Wednesday, by the way?
What do you have? Is that your book signing?
Yeah, it's actually a book launch. If you have, so we may have some books. If you pre-order them, we may have some books to give you, but you'll have to pre-order them. But either way, you come to the book launch. I'm going to be talking about a lot of topics inside the book as well, so you can learn a lot. And then you can also come back on Thursday the next day. Go to investorschooling.com. You can come back on Thursday and learn whatever it is I'm going to be teaching that day. So can you make it on Wednesday?
That's awesome. I can.
All right, cool. I'll tell you what we're going to do then. I'm going to have Glenn's going to take your information, and we're going to invite you in. And I can't wait to see you, man. Looking forward to it.
Glenn, and Larry, can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Just generally, what is your take on, literally, just sort of a general question, when a stock splits, when you buy it after, like, what's the general rule of thumb? Like, because you, in this example, you were suggesting maybe to buy it now before the split. Just kind of, right. Just trying to get your thought process. I know there's not an exact science to this, but I was just curious your general thoughts on the before or after.
Well, before, I said before, buy it before. So you want to buy at least 5 shares, and then when you split, you have 100. What?
And what's the reason for that you would suggest before?
It's the excitement. What's going to happen is you're going to get the excitement building, and people are going to get the excitement, and then they're going to start to buy it. I will tell you that, I mean, are you a long-term stockholder? Is that your strategy?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much now, open-minded. I'm pretty much open-minded to all types of strategies, you know what I mean? Because I'm trying to get a little more versed in that.
I know a really good place that you can learn a whole lot about the stock market.
I think it's called Investor Schooling.
It is. I'm glad you knew about it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to this Wednesday. I want to thank you very much for answering my question, and I really enjoyed your earlier commentary on the NFTs and the Bitcoin. I hope you're wrong,
thanks,
but I respect your commentary. It made a lot of sense.
Again, I don't know. I only the future will say. But you know, it's based on just experience in the world. I believe that's
how it's but a very educated commentary. I mean, what you were saying was making sense. It's just obviously, I hope you're wrong, but I appreciated at least what you were saying. It made a lot of sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to have Mike, my producer over here, we're going to have him break that out and make that into a podcast about Bitcoin, because that actually did have a lot of good information in it.
Absolutely. Larry, thanks for having me. I really appreciate you.
You got it, man. We'll see you on Wednesday, Chad. Thanks so much. All right.
You got it, my friend. Have a happy holiday.
You too, man. All right. Anybody else out there, if you want to call in, 855-939-1137, 855-939-1137. And if you just tuned in and missed that whole thing on Bitcoin, go to my Facebook page and you'll actually see this episode is actually up there, and you can actually click back and you can actually listen to it if you'd like to know my take on Bitcoin and how I believe what I believe is going to happen to Bitcoin. So we got a few minutes, so I want to talk a little bit about the housing market. All right. This is so weird because I sit here and I'll have a conversation with a mortgage broker, I'll have a conversation with a real estate agent, or I'll have a conversation with a typical homeowner, and I'll say, the housing market is crashing. And they're like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Well, I put my house on and I got 5 bids immediately. Yeah, I know you did, but it didn't. You know, it's not going to be the same. It's happening right now. We have more inventory coming onto the market. So this is but there's 2 things that cause house market. And when I say crashing, by the way, I don't mean that, you know, if the house is worth $500,000, it's going to be worth $300,000. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if it used to be 6 months ago, if you put your $500,000 house on the market, you know, you would get bidding war. If you put it up for $500,000, you would get a bidding war, and you'd probably get $550,000, $560,000, $570,000 for it. That's what it was 6 months ago. Right now, if you put your $500,000 house on the market, yeah, you might get a slight bidding war. You might get $505,000, $510,000, But you're probably going to get, if it's priced right, and by the way, real estate agents really need, they're going to have to learn how to price houses right again, because they didn't know how to do it before. But anyway, so if they put it up for 500, it's really worth 500, you might get a 505 or a 510, but you're not getting what you were getting before. Very quickly, we're going to start to see it the opposite. We're going to start to see people actually making offers on a $500,000 house of 490, 480, making those offers, and you know, maybe they'll settle somewhere between 585 or whatever. But that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a slow move down now. Next year, it's going to be a little bit faster move down, and then after that, we're not going to be in trouble. You just don't expect it to be where it was. So what happens to housing market is, number one, you have high interest rates, so people can afford less. That's exactly what the Fed is trying to do. That's how they slow down inflation, and that's why they do it. And the second thing is more inventory. And the reality is there really is more inventory right now. Inventory is moving up. Now, I haven't looked at the total inventory of what's in Bucks County. I usually look at that, but I will tell you that there's more inventory now than there was a month and a half ago. So more people are listing your house. Why are they doing that? Well, let's talk about it. It's pretty obvious why they're doing it. They're doing it because they feel like, just like I do, that the market's going to change. And if it changes, they want to get the most amount of money for their house that they can. And so all you people who are trying to go live in that free country, you know, Florida, you know, now's the time to sell your house. The problem is, in Florida, the housing prices are ridiculous right now because of the same problem, because all the houses are, everybody wants to move to Florida, so the demand is insane there, and the supply is pretty weak. All right, let's talk real quick. I'm going to get into some things about the stock market real quick. Let's see. Let's do the stock option Sultan intro.
Stock option Sultan. Stock option Sultan.
All right, so hey, if you've never been to Investor Schooling, you need to go to Investor Schooling just to check out the segment on the Stock Option Sultan. It is so much fun. You know, the Stock Option Sultan comes out in his hat and his gold pants and his shiny gold jacket and his gold shoes. You would love this. It's so much fun. And the Stock Option Sultan comes out and predicts the stock market just like what I'm going to be doing right now. So the Stock Option Sultan is right here, and I will be predicting the stock market. Okay, so first of all, if you listened to my shows, or if you were in class, my class last week, I told you when Snap had a really bad earnings, or a really bad earning report, well, had bad news, and Snap dropped 25%, it took down Facebook. So Facebook had dropped something like 14 or 15 or 16 points that day. And the next day I said, this is an absolute buy. And sure enough, I told everybody to buy it. And let me just tell you a quick story about what happened to it. Let me see if I can actually look at the actual numbers and what happened over the 5 days that I said to buy it. So 5 days ago, you ready? It was down to 177, and it closed on Friday at 195. That's a great play. And if you had stock options on that, man, you would have cleaned up. So that was an absolute fantastic play. And if you would have paid attention to what I was saying as a stock option Sultan, you definitely would have been happy on that too. Now, CCL is one of my favorite stocks, and it's one of my favorite stocks because it's a nail biter. And I have a lot of it. I have so much CCL right now that every time it moves up a point, my account goes up about $40,000. That's how much I have. So that's a lot of CCL between stock options and the stock. So that's a bit rough. It's scary. But CCL is an absolute play. It's still a play even at 14. It was a fantastic play at 12, of course. It was as low as 12 a week ago, which I still can't believe that. It's just horrible. But, of course, here's what's happening. So you have the cruise lines, and everyone's getting scared that it's going to cost too much money for the fuel. Yeah, okay, I got it. It's going to cost a lot of money for fuel. So what do you think? Who do you think is going to pay for that fuel? The average person who takes a cruise is going to pay for the fuel. If you did notice, there's been a bunch of retail reports, and the retail reports are all saying the same thing, that the more affluent buyer is paying the difference in the costs. So inflation is happening. There's no doubt inflation's happening. There's no doubt things are costing more. There's no doubt that we're here and it's here to stay. But the more affluent people are paying the difference. They're okay with it. So if Carnival says they have to charge you an extra $200 for your room, for your cabin because of the fuel costs, everyone's going to pay it. And they probably already, I haven't looked, but I bet they already increased their rates probably 25% already. You have the airlines, and if you noticed, if you flew lately, holy cow. I flew to Florida first class, and I typically fly first class. And I noticed that it was like, what? This is a crazy number. I noticed it was about $250 more for my first class tickets than it usually was because of the inflation and because of the fuel costs. So the average consumer is paying for it. In fact, Macy's and some of the others, like Nordstrom's, all their stocks are popping. They're all going up. And here's the really weird part. The lower price companies like Marshalls or Ross or those companies, the stock is going down. Why is the stock going down? Because the people who shop there are usually lower income people, and the lower income people aren't willing to make up the difference in the price for inflation. Or they're afraid to, because especially with gas, right? So now if somebody's got to put in, they got to pay double the price it took them for gas to get to one of these stores, and then they got to look and they got to pay more money because of inflation. So basically I forgot what Frank called it. It was great. But
Commander in Sleep.
Was it Commander in Sleep? Yeah, thanks. Right. Commander in Sleep. So basically the Commander in Sleep has done is he's actually taken the poor people and made it worse for them, and taking the rich people and made it better for them. It's typical politics. You know, he's not the first Democrat to make it worse for poor people. It's unbelievable. So the Commander in Sleep has made it worse for you if you have less money. So some of the good stocks, again, are some of the plays that people have money, the affluent people. All right, I want to remind you all that you can go to investorschooling.com. You can sign up for class this Thursday. You can also look up my book, Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. I want to thank both of my awesome producers, Mike Kiefer and Kiefer in here in our studio, and Glenn Page in the studio over at WPHT. And come Thursday, go to investorschooling.com. Sign up right now because classes are limited. And we'll see you next week.